Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, it's 9 past 12. Chad Hartman, Dave Harrigan, News Talk E30 WCCO. We've got a guest right away. It is Representative Lisa Damath. She is calling herself Speaker Designate Lisa Damath because as of right now, the Republicans have a 67-66 advantage. We, last week, on back-to-back days, we talked to Melissa Hortman and Lisa. We knew tomorrow was coming, and the debate, would the Democrats show the debate? What is the number for a quorum? What we didn't know, and Blois Olson, kudos to Blois, he broke the story, which generated a lot of news yesterday, is the House Democrats who still, are they going to show on Tuesday? Are they not going to show? They decided to be sworn in office by our friend Kevin Burke, the retired Hennepin County judge who's going to join us at 1:35. They were sworn into office yesterday. So getting ahead of the game. And Lisa Damath is here, the leader of the Republicans. And she believes the next Speaker of the House to answer a number of questions. And Lisa, like all of our guests, is on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Thank you, Lisa. You called it illegitimate what the Democrats did yesterday. Did they break the law?
Well, good afternoon, Chad. Good to talk with you during these very unexpected times. What I will say, with Democrats hiding behind locked, closed doors to do their own secret swearing-in session last night, what the law says is that we will be sworn in and take the oath of office on the day that we are supposed to be gathering, which in this case is the 14th, so tomorrow at noon. For them to do this, while it has been done in very rare and select circumstances before, a one or a two-off member on occasion, what they have done to swear in and take the oath of office as an entire caucus secretly is absolutely unprecedented, and it should never happen.
Okay. Because they did it, you will do what?
Well, we will be, House Republicans will be, in the House chamber tomorrow at noon as prescribed by law to take the oath of office and get to work for the people of Minnesota. If Democrats want to play political theater and political games, they can. But like you said, we have 67 members, they have 66. And when you read the statute, it says a majority of the members eligible, which is 133. There is a vacant seat. That election does not take place until the end of the month or later. There's a vacant seat. So when you do the math, 67 is a majority of 133, and we will go ahead and take the oath of office. I will become the speaker, and we will get to work for the people of Minnesota.
Okay. Do you believe as of today, those House Democrats who took the oath yesterday are officially members of the Minnesota House for this upcoming session?
One interesting case is they swore in Representative Brad Tabke from Scott County, where we have not even seen the court ruling on that situation. He won by 14 votes. There were 20 ballots that were destroyed. We are expecting that court ruling to come at any point in time. The court could easily rule, just like they did on the Curtis Johnson case out of Roseville, saying that Curtis Johnson in that case was not eligible to take the oath of office. We don't even have that ruling on Mr. Tabke. And so to have done this, including him, was completely wrong.
Okay, I want to get to Tabke, but I just want to follow up on this. Do you believe, because they took the oath from retired judge Kevin Burke yesterday, that the House Democrats are, as of now, officially members of the upcoming House?
I would say that because there has been a precedent where a one-off or two-off has happened before the start of the legislative session, that there is a minor precedent. I'm not an attorney, so I'm not going to give you that full legal opinion on it because I'm not qualified to do that. So I would say potentially, yes, they could be members. We recognize that. But we also know that it says we are to be sworn in at noon on the day of convening, and that is tomorrow at noon. That would be, if we would push further, that would be up to a court to make that determination.
And I'm not a lawyer either, but I did look this up. I've paid attention to other times, too. There have been exceptions, mostly for health reasons, where not the entire body, as you suggested, but individuals have been sworn into office not at noon, the first day of the session. Because of that, doesn't this make these House members, the Democrats who took the oath of office yesterday?
Possibly because of, like I said, that rare precedent that has already been set. So yes, if they show up tomorrow and are ready to get to work, we will work with them. But what we've been told is they did this, and some of our Republican members have heard from some of their Democrat members when they asked about hearings and coming to committee that they have been instructed by their leadership to stay away from the Capitol.
Okay, let's talk about Representative Brad Tabke. The phone's breaking up a little bit, but we still can hear you. We are still waiting for a ruling from the judge. But last week, the day after we chatted here, I apologize, I forget the podcaster's name, but you went on there, and the quotes attributed to you were, even if a judge rules in favor of Brad Tabke, I'm still not going to see him. Are you standing by that?
What we do is when we get that ruling from the judge, when that comes in, we will take that into consideration. But it is up to the membership of the House to determine the eligibility of those seated in the House. That is an opportunity and an option that we have depending on what that ruling actually says. It is up to the membership of the House. Interesting, because in the testimony from Mr. Tabke's own attorneys and the work that they were doing during those court hearings, that their side even said, this isn't up to the courts, it should be left up to the House. And so that's why we are going to look at absolutely every opportunity to make sure there are no votes, no voters that are disenfranchised by having their ballots thrown away.
Yeah, but I mean, couldn't we play this out whether Republicans are in charge or Democrats are in charge? If it's just up to the House to look at judicial decisions and disregard them, is that really where we want to go? Obviously, you would like to win that. You would like to have another election where the Republican could potentially win. But if the judge rules that Brad Tabke won that race, shouldn't he be the representative for that district?
It will be up to the House, and we will decide which direction we want to go on that. That is within our authority to make that determination. That is not a guarantee that will happen, but it is definitely a strong point, making sure that every vote is counted and there are zero that are disenfranchised. That is something we will definitely be looking at.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Lisa Damoth. She's with us. It's 17 past 12. We're talking about all the drama tied to what's taking place in the Minnesota House. She is a Republican. She believes she is the speaker designate. They are expected to start tomorrow. Right now, they have the advantage, 67-66. On the quorum part, you obviously are aware of what the Secretary of State, Steve Simon, has said. Steve Simon is a Democrat. Do you believe he is judging this solely by his position, or do you think any political bias is involved in what he's offered up so far?
To his intention on this, what motivates him to make these determinations, but he is not a member of the House of Representatives. He is part of the executive branch. So last week when I talked with him, and I had another meeting with him this morning, said last week that if we would raise a point of order or a point of parliamentary inquiry on anything, that he was not going to be recognizing us in the House chamber. So to have a member of the executive branch in a ceremonial role exercise any type of partisanship is absolutely beyond the pale. And my expectation is that he wouldn't do that. He needs to recognize the membership of the House of Representatives and allow us to do our work. I would hope he would not stay in the way or stand in the way of that.
Okay, so you're talking partisan here at the end. You're a little more neutral to start. Are you saying that because he's a Democrat, part of the basis of his decision is because he is playing favorites towards the party he belongs to?
Possibly, but I can't speak for his motives, but why would a part of the executive branch shut down the voice of the legislative chamber?
Well, he believes it's within his power, right? He believes the...
He also can't make motions and determine when we're going to come back or prevent us from organizing. That is not in his purview. We will watch and see how he actually conducts the ceremonial portion of his role tomorrow.
Okay, let's talk the 67-66. This was part of the conversation I had with Melissa Hortman, and I will admit, I listened to the two of you, at least part of it, when you were on NPR this morning today. Melissa Hortman, who also would like to be co-speaker at minimum, she is saying that until the other election takes place, and this is the election where Curtis Johnson, the Democrat, lied. He wasn't living in the district. He should have been eligible. And so he's out. And so we're going to have an election, by the way, an election which has favored Democrats for a long time. But we don't know what could happen in the potential rematch. That she is saying for the 2-3 weeks where you have the one vote margin, that you are the majority, that you should do what you want to do. And if you're the speaker, that's fine. But that once it's 67-67, you should go back to the sharing agreement. And she is saying, you are suggesting no. When it's 67-66 at the start, I am now the speaker for the next 2 years, no matter what happens with that remaining seat. Clarify that for me.
There are options that we potentially would look at going back into a power sharing. If it does return to 67-67, there are portions of that that we would consider. But to make a sweeping statement that we would refuse to work with them and that we would get rid of their staff and all of those things. That is not accurate. Those discussions have not taken place. But to assume that they can stay away and prevent a quorum because of a concern that I would become the speaker, they know that it would take more than 67 votes to make any changes. They know that I would be speaker for 2 years. That is why I believe that they are taking the action to prevent that happening. There's no reason why we couldn't look at some type of agreement going forward should it return to 67-67. But what the Democrats, and they're swearing in the dark of night, basically, in closed doors in secret, what that demonstrates to us, and then when they go ahead and say that they are not even going to show up to work, really brings into question whether or not they were going to fulfill any type of power sharing through the next 2 years if they didn't like the way things were going.
Okay.
They've had complete control for 2 years, and I think they are a little bit overwhelmed with the power they've had, and they need to realize that they have lost that. Someone broke the law. They are at 66. We're at 67, and they need to work within the reality of that.
Okay, I agree with that. That as long as you have the lead by one, you're the majority. You should be the speaker. I think the Democrats should show up. I don't think they should have been sworn in yesterday. I think they should be sworn in like everybody else. But here's my point, Lisa. If it does get to 67-67, to me, you should just go back to the sharing agreement you had. So if it's 3 weeks of your power, you guys get to pass as much as you can and see where it goes with the Senate, with their sharing agreement, and also obviously with the governor, Democrat. But I think you're losing people when you say, well, we'll see what we're going to do if it goes back to 67-67. How can you make the argument you should be the speaker for the remaining 2 years if it's now an even house?
Those are discussions that we will have going forward. You know, you watched our Senate colleagues be able to come up with a power-sharing agreement because no side said they weren't even going to show up. In this case, we need to move forward under 67-66, and Democrats aren't even going to show up. All of those discussions can go forward. They can go forward today. They can go forward tomorrow. But to come in and say we will hold the legislature hostage by not providing a quorum because we don't like the reality is not way to govern in the state of Minnesota, but that is exactly what we're seeing from Democrats right now.
Last thing, and I'll let you go, and I really appreciate it because I know you're busy. Do you have a scheduled meeting with Melissa Hortman at some point today?
Meeting later today. My expectation is that I believe she will be there, but going from what we've seen from Democrats not showing up, I don't know that for sure, but House Republicans show up, and I will be there later this afternoon to meet with her.
Thank you for answering my questions. We'll pay close attention. We'll reach out soon. Thanks again. This is Lisa Damoth. It's a weird phone line where once you talk for a second, it was fine, but it crackled. The thrust of the conversation you could get. I want to react, but I want you to react. What do you think of what Lisa Damoth had to say? Melissa Hortman was on with Vanita today. Both of them were on with Blois yesterday before Blois broke the news about our guy Kevin Burke swearing him in at the Minnesota History Center. What did you think of what Damoth had to say? What did you think what Hortman said with Vanita? What are you liking what you hear? And what is bugging you about what you're hearing? We like the drama, man. Give it us material. We'll get to plenty of other things, but it's head-shaking to me on both sides and parts of it. I think he was pretty clear from that conversation, my points, but I want to hear from you and I want to hear from Dave, and I'll expand also. You can reach out right now. I mean, you could come down, you can knock on the door. Probably not coming down.
No, we got locks.
We got locks, you know. Be easier for you to call and text. Your team Damoth, your team Hortman, you're mad at both. You think this is going to happen. What do you want to say? 651-461-9226.